I want you to think of this. Talking to those that God labels the mighty. I know what's going through some people's minds. Well, I'd love to be like that, but I'm just barely surviving myself spiritually. Then I'm going to give you a scripture to take home with you. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. You start quoting this until you start believing that it applies to you. Jeremiah was hated, despised, scorned in his day. No matter what he prophesied, the people did the opposite. He was a youngster, probably a teenager, when he started prophesying. And yet, his life was the pivot on which the future of Israel turned. And listen to what this persecuted, despised, ostracized, put down, rejected young prophet had to say. He said, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. A mighty. Everybody say the mighty. The Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Another version says, as a mighty awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail against me. They will be greatly ashamed and they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten." Now, that's a mindset to have, that I'm not confused, but my enemy is everlastingly confused. And I'm not stumbling, but my enemy is going to stumble and be greatly ashamed. Come on, why don't you get the mindset the devil's going to be ashamed for attacking me? He's going to be ashamed he ever came against a son or a daughter of God. Come on, you have weapons of warfare. We're not fighting with carnal means. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? The next part tells us. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So a stronghold is an area of wrong thinking. Some people call it stinking thinking. It's an area of doubt, an area of fear, an area of self-condemnation, guilt, an area of lust, an area of rebellion, some kind of thing, attitude, thought process in you that is contrary to what God's word says. And you dwell on it so continuously that you get to the point where you accept it as being unopposable. And that's when a stronghold exists in you that immobilizes you spiritually. But the Bible says our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. If you're one of the mighty, you have equipment to fight with that nobody else knows about. There's a spiritual armament in your life that exceeds anything the enemy can come against you with. Listen, I have stood on the battlefield in Israel where during one of their wars, 27 Israeli tanks withstood over 500 Arab tanks and won. You don't win against God odds like that except God be with you. Yeah. Oh, I wish you could feel what I just felt. God is with that little nation that's been besieged by surrounding neighbors, even though in an en masse way they deny the messiahship of Jesus. They are failing to walk in the present revelation of the covenant, but there's just enough of an overflow of blessing where when they raised the Star of David flag in May of 1948 and they were attacked by six Arab nations, the sum total of those nations was 100 million people against 800,000 Jews, and the Arabs had the guns, the Arabs had the tanks, the Arabs had the airplanes and the ships, the Arabs had the hand grenades and all the other weapons of war. The Jews had hardly anything to fight with. It was contraband to them. And many of them had to fight with sticks and rocks. But they had some ancestors that did very well with sticks and rocks. Do you remember Moses with his stick and David with his stone? Praise God. And won against phenomenal odds. 800,000 Jews against 100 million Arabs. And in an ignorant state, to the most part, concerning who Jesus is. And if they could win against incredible odds in the darkness of the lack of understanding they have. How much more? I said, how much more? Burning in my bosom. How much more should you win when you've got the revelation of who he is, that he was God incarnate in human flesh, that God walked the earth in the form of his son and conquered death, hell, and the grave, and you are the recipient of the victory. Somebody give God a shout of triumph right now. Come on. Come on, return it to God. Return it to God. Return it to God. Whatever your hands find to do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. See, God's already prayed the spirit of might into you. The spirit of might is a title for the Holy Spirit found in Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 9, it talked about the incarnation of the Messiah, how he would be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then in Isaiah chapter 11, it talked about how the spirit of counsel and of might would rest upon him. Yeah. I like the connection between those two titles, that the spirit of counsel and of might rested upon the Messiah. See, he's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Everybody say, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Spirit of counsel and of might. See, the two go together in Jesus. Almost everybody I know is a wonderful counselor. You get counsel all the time from people that want to tell you what you as pastor should do, I'm sure. And you probably wait for God to tell you what you should do. You take it into consideration, but the main voice you're listening to is his. Almost everybody I know is a wonderful counselor. They sit in front of the evening news and solve all the world problems. Right there, talking with their wife over a bowl of potato chips. They are wonderful counselors. But the weakness is they don't have the might to follow up their counsel with performance. But if Jesus ever counsels you what you should do, on the heels of that counsel comes the spirit of might to empower you to do that. He doesn't just convict your heart and say you need to give up that habit. You need to give up that sin and leave you with the counsel. After he convicts your heart and pricks your spirit and probes into your inner being, then he follows it up with the spirit of might to empower you to do what he says you need to do. Thank God he's that way. Come on, thank God he's that way. There's no weakness represented in this room that you cannot have authority over. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. What are the weapons of our warfare? First, primary one is the name we speak. The name we represent. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The disciples came back. 70 of them were sent forth. And two by two, they went into different cities preaching the kingdom of God was at hand. And they came back ecstatic. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. What's the rest? Through thy name. That was before they were born again, before they were washed in the blood, before they had a regenerative experience, before they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. All they had to fight with primarily was the name of Jesus. And Jesus responded and said, yes, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, what does that mean? Lightning starts in one spot and then spreads across the whole sky. I believe from his vantage point, Satan saw 35 teams of two going into city after city throughout Galilee and throughout Israel, preaching the kingdom of God. And his kingdom, the dark kingdom of Satan, started falling to pieces. And all the devil's demons and all the devil's men couldn't put his kingdom back together again. And he got scattered 35 different directions trying to rescue a crumbling kingdom that was brought to its knees through the declaration of the name of Jesus. If they could powerfully wield that name before they were born again, how much more can you wield it now that you're blood washed and saved? Come on, just grabbing somebody by the hand and saying, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough to impart a miracle. Come on, somebody grab somebody's hand and just say, Jesus. More power in that name than you realize. I have a friend who moved to to Milwaukee, Wisconsin with his family from a rural area because God told him to pastor in Milwaukee. And his church was about two blocks away from Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment, the man that, the serial killer that would eat his victims, a demonized man for certain, two blocks away from where this pastor was pastoring. And one night, his little 13-year-old girl woke up with a rapist in her room. Somehow he'd broken in the back door and was hovering over her, but she was a spirit-filled little girl. He immediately clamped his hand over her mouth and proceeded to try and rape her. She was kicking and fighting back and finally managed to push his hand off of her mouth. You know what the first word that came out of her mouth was? It wasn't help. It was Jesus. And the man jumped back and said, "Don't say that name." That girl rose up in bed and said, "Jesus." He jumped back to the door and said, "Don't say that name." And she jumped out of the bed and chased him down the hall, ran him out the back door, doing nothing but saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." It was, somebody shout Jesus right now. Come on, shout Jesus to the demonic powers that want to rape you spiritually. It wasn't that hulk of a man that was afraid of that little girl. It was the demon in that man that was paralyzed at the proclamation of that name. Come on, you've got a weapon of warfare to fight with that is mighty through God. Yeah. And that in itself would be sufficient. But that's not the only weapon in your arsenal. The next weapon is the blood of Jesus. Yeah. I said the blood. Everybody lift your hand and say the blood. And you've got to come to an understanding that the blood is not just something that covers you. Somebody in the beginning of my walk with God told me that if you ever have a problem and an attack of the enemy, claim the blood. So I would claim the blood. I'd say, "The blood be upon me," as if I was pulling it nervously, anxiously to myself and getting this blood covering. And I'd feel relieved. And then an hour later, I'd come under pressure again. And I'd say, "Oh, the blood be upon me." What happened to the first application? Did it evaporate away? I never did review it in my mind and think it through all day long. The blood be upon me, as if I'm pulling something to myself that's not there. And then it dawned on me after about 10 years of ignorance that the blood is not a covering. Jesus said, that's Old Testament. Atonement means covering. You have more than atonement now. Atonement is not a New Testament word. It's an Old Testament word. It's found one time in the New Testament and it's wrongly translated. You have more than a covering. Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." Whatever you drink becomes a part of you inseparably. If you drink a glass of orange juice this morning, I can't poke you in the arm this afternoon and out spews the orange juice. It goes into your stomach. The digestive juices break it down into the nutrients you need. It spreads to every cell of your body through an amazing circulatory system. If you lined up all the veins, arteries, capillaries, microscopic capillaries in one line, your blood system would go around the world 2.5 times at the equator. There's about 75,000 miles of blood vessels in a normal adult human being. Please turn around to someone and say, "There's more to you than I thought." There's a whole lot more. Why does God have such a vast circulatory system in us? Because every single cell has to have a constant supply of fresh blood. And that fresh blood invigorates the cell with oxygen from the lungs, nutrients from the digestive system. It removes poisons and toxins and infuses the cell with life. And that goes on a moment-to-moment basis without your conscious involvement. You don't have to say, "I confess the blood will move through my body." It's moving through you constantly anyway. So it is spiritually. Whether you confess it or not, the blood of Jesus is constantly flowing through you. And every moment that the blood of Jesus touches you, the toxin of evil is being removed and the nature of God is being infused in you. No wonder no weapon formed against you shall prosper, praise God. Oh, somebody say the blood. Now, you may say you don't claim the blood anymore. I didn't say that. Don't misquote me. I do claim the blood, but with a different mindset. I'm not pulling the blood to me. I'm affirming that the precious blood of Jesus is always there. when I'm consciously aware of it, when I'm confessing it, and when I'm not confessing it. I'm one of the cells in his body, and I need a constant blood supply. And that blood supply keeps me from the wicked one, because that provides a barrier that no demon can get through. If I was you, I'd give God a praise offering like you haven't given him all night long. The blood! Weapons of warfare that are mighty through God. That should be sufficient. The name of Jesus and the blood. But there's another one. Somebody over here said it. The word. Well, I don't have to quote scripture. Jesus did. And if the Son of God, who was perfect, thought it important to react to the devil that way, then you and I, who are so prone to imperfection, had better learn how to say, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Come on, everybody say it with me. It is written. I'll never forget. I was invited years ago to preach a revival at a church in New York. I arrived about 7 o'clock on Saturday night. I knocked on the pastor's door. He opened the door and said, oh, I'm glad you're here. Let's go. I said, where are we going? He said, the insane asylum. I said, do you treat all your visiting evangelists this way? He said, no, you don't understand. He said, one of my main members had a nervous breakdown. She was married to an abusive husband that constantly berated her verbally and told her how stupid, ugly, and worthless she was. And at times in their past, he had physically abused her. But it was primarily verbal abuse. That doesn't prove to me that a man is a man. It proves to me that he's less than a man. I needed a better response than that. That doesn't prove to me you're strong. It proves to me you're weak. There's an old saying, there's nothing so strong as gentleness, and nothing so gentle as real strength. Real strength doesn't have to prove itself by putting others down. Anyway, she cracked under the pressure. And the poor woman, who was a prayer warrior in his church, one of the main intercessors in his body, would do nothing except sit in the middle of her bed in the asylum, pick at her hair, and mumble about how stupid, worthless, and ugly she was. She never bathed herself, never feed herself, never clothe herself, never acknowledge anyone coming in the room. And he said, we're going to pray her out of that. We got to the asylum, and the people at the asylum, just like the majority of what's going on throughout the scientific world and the medical community, it's a scorning of anything religious, as if only simple-minded people would believe something like that. And they met us at the door and said, we'll give you 5 minutes, but no religious stuff. That won't help her a bit. And I just smiled at them. If I'd have nodded my head, I would have been saying yes to their request, and I didn't intend to keep their request. And so I just smiled, so they'd have to guess whether or not I was going to keep their request or not. They said, no religious stuff. We got in there. She never acknowledged that we were in the room. And I said, Pastor, would you like to go? He said, no, I brought you here for you to pray with her. So I got down next to her, and I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, maybe her spirit can hear me, even though her mind is not acknowledging me to be in the room. So I got next to her, and for 4.5 minutes, I quoted every scripture I knew. Every scripture that came to me, I'd say, it is written. Low tone of voice, because I didn't want the guys outside to hear. I said, it is written. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. It is written. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It is written. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. It is written. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is written. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It is written. It is written. It is written. I must have quoted 100 scriptures. I looked at my watch and saw I only had 30 seconds left. I said, Pastor, we better go for it. We both laid hands on her. No whispering from that point forward. We started proclaiming that the enemy had taken over territory that did not belong to him. And we said, you get out, you devil. This is God's habitation. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And both of us launched into speaking in tongues. The door flung open. Two big bouncers came in and grabbed me by the arm, grabbed him by the arm, ushered us to the front door, threw us out, and locked the door behind them. That's okay. We'd already done sufficient damage to the devil's kingdom, because as soon as we left that room, that woman got up, bathed herself, clothed herself, went up to the front desk, said, call my family. I don't need to be in here anymore. Why? Because it is written. Weapon of warfare that is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every church has a stronghold, an area of resistance against spiritual authority, where there's a wrong revelation, and usually the people participating in it think they're the ones in tune and nobody else is. Every individual has some kind of stronghold opposition going on in your life, even if it's sickness in your body stealing the quality of life from you. There's some kind of stronghold the enemy is attempting to build up, and he's not giving up. Like a spider that keeps rebuilding its web, like ants that keep rebuilding their mound. Demons don't give up. You've got to keep tearing down what the enemy tries to build. And God let me know just a few moments ago that he sent me here to usher you to this place tonight where you can declare the decree. The miracle is in your mouth. You may be depending on me to lay hands on you, or Brother Jim to lay hands on you, or Sister Dallas to lay hands on you. But I declare to you that the miracle is in your mouth. And if you'll dare to get adamant about it, forthright, and full of authority, you're going to push your way out of this stronghold that's been in your life and watch it collapse like Jericho walls crumbling to the ground. But the shout's got to come out of your mouth first. Would you stand to your feet right now? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Lift your hand and say, I'm one of the mighty. Lift your voice and say, I'm one of the mighty. Lift your praise to God and thank him for positioning you among the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty. That's who God says you are. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. I feel something mighty happening here. I feel the Holy Spirit take ikarabaka shataboko ronda bakatai. There's no mightier way to pray than for the Holy Spirit to begin to make intercession through you in your behalf. O tabaka rabaka shaya. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Oh, would to God that about 120 believers would get filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, with cloven tongues of fire over you and tongues rolling out of you like liquid fire. Do it again, Lord. You shook the whole known world. You tore down the stronghold of legalistic Judaism with 120 people considered to be ignorant and unlearned men, and yet they were filled with the spirit of might. Fill us, Lord, with the spirit of might, and help us to shake our city, to shake this state, and to take our nation back for the kingdom of God. Lord, we suffered a terrible defeat a few days ago at the polls, but we're not dependent on the Republicans. We're not dependent on the Democrats. We're not dependent on politics to take this nation back. We're dependent on an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again in the name of Jesus. I praise you for it. I praise you for it. Fixing your mind, says the Lord of hosts. Fixing your mind. The enemy you intend to oppose. Lock your eyes on the stronghold that you intend to bring down. Approach the battlefield with the passionate, prayerful cry that David came to the battlefield with. Dare to say in your heart, as David did, standing before the giant, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I say to you, says the Lord, that David's confession won him the victory before the rock ever hit the giant's forehead. This day. This day. Come on, fix your eyes. I've never given a prophecy like that in my entire life. Fix your eyes, soldier in the army of God. Fix your eyes on the demonic thing that's been attacking you. Fix your eyes on the sickness, the disease that's taken hold of your body. Fix your eyes on that demon that wants to pull you into a backslidden state. Fix your eyes on that spirit that wants to break up your marriage. Fix your eyes on that weakness in your life that's dragging you back into darkness. You're in a warfare right now. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Wake up the mighty women. Let the weak say, I am strong. God said, go ahead. Run into battle. And would you lift your hand right now and say, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody dare to say it. The miracle's in your mouth. Be careful what you put in your mouth. This day, somebody shout, this day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, but this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands and I will tread on you. I'm tired of seeing wimps in the body of Christ. If people really take hold of this kind of preaching, you'll get less phone calls. And that doesn't mean you're less important. It just means you've gotten them to the place they need to be. They'll be calling you less, saying, oh, Sister Dallas, please help me. I need you to help me pray. And instead, they'll be rising up saying, you get away from me. You demon, you sickness, you get out of my body. It works. I said, it works. I said, it works. I had a tumor come up in my body 7 years ago that was growing at an alarming rate. I didn't tell anybody except two people that I wanted to help me pray. And I knew they were people that weren't people of unbelief. I didn't tell my wife. She was pregnant with our daughter, and I didn't want her to have anything else to concern her with. And over a period of a month in services like this, I'd get off in a corner, I'd point to that tumor, and I'd say, you have no right to be in my body. I conquer you by the blood of Jesus. I conquer you in the name of Jesus. I say, it is written, it is written. He sends his word to heal them, and I receive the word, and you are purged from my body right now. And over a period of 3 or 4 weeks, that thing started reducing in size and dissolving until it's no more but about the size of the end of my thumb right now. It holds no threat to me. It's not growing anymore. I conquered it through weapons of warfare that are mighty through God. You're about to conquer your opposition right now. Oh, come on, turn around to somebody and say, I'm not a wimp. I'm not a spiritual wimp. I'm ready for war, Caleb said. I'm ready for war. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. I'm ready for war. Most people love to quote the part of Psalm 91 that wimps love to quote. I've got your attention now. He gives his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I don't want to get a stone bruise. Oh, thank you, God, for bearing me up in angel hands. Does that mean you're escorted in some kind of chariot on the shoulders of angels, lest you have any pressure in life? God doesn't want any kind of bruise on your foot. Read a little bit further. He just wants your strength reserved for what's really important. He said the angels are there to keep you from dashing your foot against a stone, but he didn't say you would not be using your feet. The next few verses say you'll tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot. I'm not going to waste my time with stones. Give me a dragon. I said, give me a dragon to trample underfoot. That'll give you a different mindset. Instead of praying, oh God, please heal me of this headache, say, God, give me a dragon I can trample on. We're worrying about stones while our society is being taken over by dragons. Oh, I didn't get an amen, but the United States of America is under siege. And if we don't take it back, within 10 years, we won't even be a Christian nation. But God is raising up some men and women of God who realize who they are. We're not the weak. We're not the frail. We're not the erring. We're the mighty. And we intend to take our nation back. We intend to take our nation back. God's given you some new ideas. God has given you new ideas. We're never too old for new ideas. In fact, seasoned saints are God's treasure chest of new ideas. May I say it again? Seasoned saints are God's treasure chest of new ideas. God said if you're instructed in the kingdom of God, you bring out of your treasury both old things and new. There's too many people just satisfied with the old things. Lift your hand, would you, and say, God, I want something new. I want a new dream. I want a new vision. I want a new burden. I want a new passion. I want a new authority. I want a new victory. I want a new anointing. I want a new touch from heaven. I want the old, but I want the new. Hallelujah. I feel God saying that in the next few minutes, there's going to be multiple strongholds fall in this altar. I may pray for you by laying on of hands, and then I may not, because I'd rather you get to the point where your voice paralyzes the enemy, where you declare the decree. Then again, I may feel led to pray for you. I don't know what I'll do. All I know is I feel led to tell you that if 100 people are in this altar sincerely, 100 strongholds are going to fall. At least 100 strongholds are going to fall. You've been Sharon Engel, you've been fighting against this stronghold of sickness and disease. You wouldn't even be alive right now if you weren't a fighter. The Holy Ghost just showed me several months ago you would have been dead, but you've been fighting the good fight of faith. Your fight is not in vain. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I believe. God, would you grace this meeting tonight with the collapse of that stronghold in Sharon's life so that she walks out of here healthier than she's been in a long time. Let it be in Jesus' name. And I mean that. I mean it. I mean it. Something's happening in the atmosphere. It's boiling in the atmosphere. There's liquid fire snapping and popping and cracking in the atmosphere. And I heard a voice then that said, I'm going to give my people a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Remember, Kent told me when I said, I finally feel the fire. He said, calm down. You'll get used to it after a while. How many agree with me? You don't want to get used to it. You want a fresh, 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 fresh outpouring of the fire. Somebody shout, fresh fire! Fresh fire! Fresh fire! Fresh fire! Fresh fire! Come out of those seats right now. Come up in this altar area. Come up here ready to praise, ready to shout, ready to leap, ready to declare the victory, ready to put the enemy in his place. Come on, come on, come on, as quick as you can, as quickly as you can. Come up here praising God. Come up here worshiping God. Come up here with your hands lifted up. Come up here praising God in English, and come up here praising God in tongues. Come up here praising in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come up here worshiping God for your miracle. Come up here worshiping God for your breakthrough. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. You may say, I don't have to. Oh, yes, you do. You'll be the same person if you don't break through. Press, 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 press away. Press away. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it. The violent take it. The violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. Keep playing, but bring it down just a little. Because I want their voices to overpower the music. I want, no, don't stop, brothers. Don't stop. I just don't want the music to overpower the voices. I want the voices to overpower the music. I want you. You know what your stronghold is. You know what the stronghold is. I want you to war. Wage war. Go ahead and declare the decree. Declare, I am healed with His stripes. Declare, I am prospered. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Declare your miracle. Declare your breakthrough. Go ahead and lift your voices. Wage the warfare right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.